Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from the Psalms and the Old and New Testaments and a reflection. Our readings today are taken from Proverbs 14 and from Mark 6, verses 45 to the end. The reflection is by Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled Meeting Jesus Where You Are.
Thank you very much. So we're going to have two readings. Proverbs 14, verse 31 to 15, 17. And thank you, Roger, for reading that.
Those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but those who are kind to the needy honour him. The wicked are overthrown by their evil doing, but the righteous find a refuge in their integrity. Wisdom is at home in the mind of one who has understanding, but it is not known in the heart of fools. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. A servant who deals wisely has the king's favour, but his wrath falls on one who acts shamefully. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise dispenses knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A fool despises a parent's instruction, but the one who heeds admonition is prudent. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the minds of fools. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked, there is severe discipline for one who forsakes the way, but one who hates a rebuke will die. Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more human hearts? Scoffers do not like to be rebuked. They will not go to the wise. The glad heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. The mind of one who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on folly. All the days of the poor are hard, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with a fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of vegetables where love is than a fatted ox and hatred with it.
Thank you very much, Roger. And then our New Testament, taking from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 45 to the end. Thank you, Elaine.
Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After saying farewell to them, he went up on the mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was out on the lake, and he was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came towards them early in the morning, walking on the lake. He intended to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into the villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed.
Thank you so very much, Elaine, for that. So yes, there's a lot in the first reading. Proverbs, they're usually short sentences with key thoughts, wisdom, and it's about wisdom and foolishness. And our New Testament reading is about that story of Jesus crossing the lake. So my only comment is basically one on the Proverbs, which is the very last verse, and I'm not sure what my children would say about it. And I think it's the struggle of every parent. Better is a dinner of vegetables where love is than a fatted ox and hatred is. I think they will be fine with love and hatred, but trying to get their vegetables eaten is just a nightmare. So I'm not sure if they know they have dinners of vegetables. Says, but there is love, says, well, not just vegetables, please. The reading here, I've never actually read that little bit, that when Jesus crossed the lake, here it says he intended.
Yeah, I haven't seen that before.
I thought, like, I haven't seen that. He intended to pass them by. And I didn't have time to reflect on that, but I really want to reflect on that. Maybe it's part Jesus was not in the business of, attracting attention for the sake of attention. He was doing things deliberately to help people in their faith. Was not to just make people wonder. It was to attract them in a sense so that they understand who he was, his identity and his purpose. So that's quite interesting.
My version said he was about to pass them by.
He was about to pass, yeah, he intended to pass, he was about, yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's slightly different.
Yeah, I'll have a look at the Greek and see what it says. But then the other one is, for me, is the challenge as we explore healing and wholeness in our church, the challenge of, yes, wisdom and be sensitive. But the danger is we are oversensitive, or I hide my sensitivity with my lack of trust and faith in what God can do. Mm-hmm. And so it's not to lower the expectation of God's desire to manifest himself, especially I think when people are visiting us, when they don't know much about God, that God wants to reach them in wonderful ways. And we see here with Jesus, and it's the ministry of Jesus. So if that was the ministry of Jesus in flesh while he was on earth, it's still the ministry of Jesus in spirit with us. And so it's how, for me, we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to the gifts of the Spirit and allow that in our church. Because clearly it says people brought their sick to him on the beds, and all who touched it were healed. In a sense, no one was sent away disappointed. Maybe that's a better things, that when we come to Jesus, when people come to prayer ministry, or when we come on a Sunday, that if we come with the right attitude, with a desire to meet with God, we will not be disappointed. God will meet us in some ways, even if it's in a quiet way. We will be different from the time we've arrived in the church. And I think maybe that's the best prayer we can say, that everyone with a desire to meet with God will meet him in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Not always the extraordinary, like the tangible, but sometimes it's more what's happening inside. And I was encouraged even with your little comment, Lind, when you said, oh, I never thought about this during the preaching. I can't remember what was your thought, but you're still muted.
Oh, that's it. I've got to think what I said, what it was. Let me think on it.
What about the healing? But oh yeah, about the forgiveness that came
first. Yes, the forgiveness came. You had You have to open yourself and acknowledge that you need forgiveness before you ask. And I find myself, I've got a list of asks. Do I ask for forgiveness before I reel off all the things I need help. The one thing I'll just cut in very quickly, or it'll go out my brain. I love this reading, the New Testament reading, because when I hear it, I just visualize a boat, and I'm in the boat, and it's really choppy. It's really choppy, and I just ask him, and he comes in the boat with me, and. Okay, it might not necessarily be as calm as I want, but I'm calmed. So it's just that he will come into the boat with us. And it always gets me. It always gets me this. Anyway, I'm going to mute myself again.
No, thank you very much. Anything else that you found helpful, challenging, encouraging in those passages?
I went to the launch of the Somerset House of Prayer yesterday evening, and I came away, and it's quite different to the more contemplative prayer that I suppose I'm used to, and I came away with mixed feelings about it, but I in and. One of the first readings this morning, I don't know whether it was from a psalm, but there was a line there which said, "In righteousness, God will judge the world and the peoples with equity." And that reminds me really that it's not for us to judge the way that we worship and we desire wholeness in the church. It's for God to do that. And so I think what I came away with saying thanks to the Lord for this development of this house of prayer for Somerset. At the moment, it's mainly young adults involved, but who knows, that might blossom into something really big. And so we just need to be humble, I think, when we worship and we pray. And accept that God's in control and not ourselves.
Thank you. Anything else, or are we ready to move into a time of prayer and intercession? We pray today for coming PCC tonight. We pray for the life of our church as we explore healing and wholeness. With thinking about Mary, Mother, we pray for mothers and grandmothers, and pray for the royal family, the government, and whatever you feel led to pray today, whether it's the task ahead, whether it's needs in the world, or the life of the church. Let's pray.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.